Your SteveJonesShow.com audio is loading. SteveJonesShow.com audio is sponsored by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call them at 800-609-9484 or visit them online at REWfinancial.com.
Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome once again to the Steve Jones Show. Steve joining us from the Sunbury Motors Studio here in just a few minutes. It's been a busy sports day, to say the least. We'll get into a lot of things that have been going on in the last 24 hours, as well as the start or the restart of Major League Baseball. We'll talk about some sports topics as well. Yesterday it was about the British Open. Tuesday it was about the British Open. Tiger topping the odds now for the British Open. And if you want to hear more about what Curtis Strange thought about the British Open and how things match up for that and Tiger's potential there in the Open, you can go to our archives, SteveJonesShow.com. That's SteveJonesShow.com. Click on the archives from Tuesday, and you'll be able to hear Curtis Strange comments on the Steve Jones Show about the upcoming British Open. We'll talk a little Olympic rowing today as well. As I said, a very busy day with a lot of stuff to talk about, a lot of emails to go through as well. And we'll try and get to all of that coming up here on the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Steve, as I said, moments from now, we'll be in the Sunbury Motors studio. And we thank Sunbury Motors for being a part of the broadcast. Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street, Sunbury, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Taking your calls today, too, at 1-800-795-9565. That's the Lenape Solar hotline. You can find out more about what Lenape Solar has to offer by going to lenapesolar.com. And today, the program sponsored by Rick Weibel and the folks at REW Financial. We appreciate them for joining us as well. The Steve Jones Show will continue in a moment on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Business owners, listen up. Reducing your electric bill goes hand in hand with increasing your energy efficiency. And now you can accomplish both with a hand from Lenape Solar. Your approved PPL ePower Trade Ally. Upgrading to energy efficient lighting in your facility has never been simpler or more affordable. And we do all the paperwork for you. The ePower Direct Discount Program for PPL customers pays you up front for up to 75% of your project cost. And with the savings you'll clearly see, your project can easily pay for itself in less than a year. Lenape Solar is your trusted local source for energy efficiency and solar energy solutions. And now is the time to lower your business's electric bill and increase your bottom line forever. With a hand from Lenape Solar. This is Tanya Diddy, and I invite you to schedule your free, no-obligation energy analysis today by calling 570-286-1496, visiting Lenape Solar at 140 South 2nd Street in Sunbury, or find us online at lenapesolar.com.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their 64th annual July New Truck Sale. Choose from over 75 new F-150s with discounts up to $7,000. Sunbury Motors is loaded with Super Duty trucks. Pick from Super Cabs, Crew Cabs, Diesels, and Dualies. Save up to a whopping $10,000 on Super Duties during this July New Truck Sale. If an SUV is what you need, SMC has new 2012 Ford Escapes as low as $19,880. And 2013 Ford Explorer 4x4s from $29,970. The all-new, totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escapes are arriving daily, and Sunbury Motors has them starting at $22,680. Take $5,000 off a new 2012 Ford Edge, and they're on sale for just $25,915. Every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires, and 0% financing is available on many models, including 2012 F-150s for the first time this year. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Hurry before someone gets your truck.
Hi, I'm Rick Weibel from REW Financial. I strive to take an eagle-eye approach to your financial future to help give you the freedom to make powerful decisions. I work with you to help you find the discipline you need to get the results you want. I don't believe in just setting it up and letting things go. I'll always be looking to see how we can make things better. REW Financial is an independent company committed to the highest standards of integrity, ethics, and value throughout your financial journey. See us in Lewisburg and Brook Park Farm. Call 800-609-9484 or visit us online at rewfinancial.com.
A Thursday edition is being brought to you by our good friend Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484. We're at the Sunbury Motors Studio, 4th Street in Sunbury, Sunbury Motors Kia, Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. And, of course, the Lenape Solar Hotline, powered by Lenape Solar. Go to lenapesolar.com. And that number is 1-800-795-9565. We welcome in Cliff Lee's personal consultant on pitching, Kevin Herr.
Why am I his personal consultant on pitching?
Look at his record.
All right. You're welcome.
All right. All right. Now, obviously, the story of the day that is going to get all the concentration, and it turned out there are no other athletic sporting events going on right now, is the free report that was released today. So let's get to the free report that was released today. And the part I'm going to concentrate on is going to be the part that is not going to be talked about through, because obviously I think we've seen what has happened with the free report. We've seen what they've been able to do. They were able to interview 430 individuals along the way, trying to put together as complete a report as possible, reviewing what happened at the university 14 years ago and also happening at the university on campus 11 years ago. Now, along the way, because of, as Director Free pointed out in his opening statement, and it's something I think everybody knew going in, but they could not, along the way, interview Athletic Director Tim Curley because, obviously, with his case pending, his counsel would not allow it. He could not interview Gary Schultz because, again, with his trial pending, his counsel would not allow it. And, of course, we know, and he did say that it was his strong feeling that Joe Paterno was going to cooperate with the free group completely, but because of his deteriorating health and then subsequent death, they could not speak with him at all. So he does freely admit within this that they do not have the context from those individuals within the report. So they have put together a report based on everything they've been able to gather through evidence, emails, and so forth. What they have done through this, and it's very important now in all of us moving forward, that one of the greatest teachers in life is history. History is certainly one of the greatest teachers, and how you take history and how you take an incident and then you see how it was handled or reacted to, in order to move forward, you have to be able to learn lessons from that. Number one, Jerry Sandusky is already in prison. He had 52 counts against him, 4 were dropped, 3 were found not guilty in the victim number 2 case, 45 other guilty charges, and he is now awaiting sentencing at the Centre County Prison. And that sentencing should occur, it's supposed to be 90 days, so I want to say it's going to occur in late August, early September. So in that part, now it's a question of the handling of it, which they go through in detail, what they were able to find through their evidence and the perspective they were able to get. Along the way, the free report put together 119 recommendations that they would like to see moving forward. And we will go through, and this is the part of the report that people have not been able to really get their handle on yet. That is the 119 recommendations. Here we go. Let me go. Just what I'm trying to do right now is get the report up in front of me again one more time, because I've gone through these, and we're going to go through the 119 recommendations of this, because it's important in going forward how the university must respond in the future and what they must put in place in the future that will get us back on track. Now, a lot of things have been put in place already and implemented to put the university and the athletic department back on track. Now, you have to go through the first 125 pages before you get to the recommendations. There's timelines in here and things like that, and there's the 1998 investigation that has been discussed, followed by 2001 and how it was handled. And also the key findings in the case. Now, to go through and digest all of this and, quote, regurgitate it, again, these are things that have been talked about or leaked, and, of course, they talked about the regrets of the leaks, over the last few months and in recent weeks. The part that has not been talked about, which is also very important, is that when you get to page 125 or 126, these are now the recommendations based on what they've been able to find and information that has obviously now been out there for everybody to digest and react to as they wish, except the recommendations have not been talked about. And that's what we're going to talk about, the recommendations in moving forward in all of this. The next step in moving forward will take place on this show tomorrow. And that's when we have Lift for Life, and we will be broadcasting live with the Penn State football players on the show tomorrow on Lift for Life. And that will be a next step forward in the healing of all this, which we'll talk about a little bit later in the show. So I will take this directly now from the report itself. And this is under recommendations. The failure of Penn State President Graham Spanier, Senior Vice President of Finance and Business Gary Schultz, head football coach Joe Paterno, athletic director Tim Curley to protect children by allowing Jerry Sandusky unrestricted and uncontrolled access to Penn State University facilities reveals numerous individual failings, but also reveals weaknesses of the university's culture, governance, administration, compliance policies, and procedures for protecting children. It is critical for institutions and organizations that provide programs and facilities for children to institute and adhere to practices that have been found to be effective in reducing the risk of abuse. Equally important is the need for the leaders of those institutions and organizations to govern in ways that reflect the ethics and values of those entities. The free group then continues, and again, they put a lot of work in this, exhaustive work into this and into these recommendations. The next step in this is they say the Special Investigative Council provided several recommendations to the Board of Trustees in January 2012 to address needs to reform policies and procedures, particularly those involving upcoming activities such as summer camps, which have already taken place. And you'll notice along the way, and I will tell you which ones have been implemented. Before, but especially since 2011 of November, the board and university administrators have reviewed, modified, or added relevant policies, guidelines, practices, and procedures relating to the protection of children and university governance. Consistent with the recommendations in this report, members of the board, university administrators, faculty, and staff have one. Strengthened security measures and policies to safeguard minors, students, and other associated with the university and its outreach programs. Improve the organization and procedures of the board to better identify, report, and address issues of significance to the university and members of its community. These are things that they've done so far. And they then go on to say in the free report, increase compliance with the Gene Cleary disclosure of campus security policy and campus crime statistics, training and information collection, and reporting requirements. Encourage prompt reporting of incidents of abuse and sexual misconduct. Conducted abuse awareness training for many university areas, including its top leadership. Provided better oversight and governance of the university's educational research and athletic compliance programs. One of the most challenging tasks confronting the university community and possibly the most important step in assuring that the other recommended reforms are effectively sustained and that the public confidence in the university and its leadership is restored is an open, honest, thorough examination of the culture that underlies the failure of Penn State's most powerful leaders to respond appropriately to Sandusky's crimes. The report recommends the following recommendations are intended to assist university administrators, faculty, staff, and the board in improving how they govern and provide protection for children in university facilities and programs. These recommendations relate to the university administrative structure, policies and procedures, and the Office of General Counsel. The responsibilities and operation of the board, The identification of risk, compliance with federal and state statutes, and reporting misconduct, the integration of the athletic department into the greater university community, the oversight, policies, and procedures of the university's police department, and the management of programs for non-student minors and access to university facilities. In addition, recommendations are included that will assist the university in monitoring change and measuring future improvements. So, number one in recommendations on the free report, Penn State culture. The university is a major employer, landholder, and investor in State College, and its administrators, staff, faculty, and many of its board members have strong ties to the local community. Certain aspects of the community culture are laudable, such as its collegiality, high standards of education, excellence in research, and respect for the environment. However, there is an overemphasis on the Penn State way as an approach to decision-making, a resistance to seeking outside perspectives, and an excessive focus on athletics that can, if not recognized, negatively impact the university's reputation as a progressive institution. University administration and the board should consider taking the following actions to create a values and ethics-centered community where everyone is engaged in placing the needs of children above the needs of adults, and to create an environment where everyone who sees or suspects child abuse will feel empowered to report abuse. Number one, organize a Penn State-led effort to vigorously examine and understand the Penn State culture in order to, one, reinforce the commitment of all university members to protect children, two, create a stronger sense of accountability among the university leadership, three, establish values and ethics-based decision-making and adherence to the Penn State principles as the standard for all university faculty, staff, and students. Next, promote an environment of increased transparency into the management of the university. And five, ensure a sustained integration of the intercollegiate athletics program into the broader Penn State community. This effort should include the participation of representatives from the Special Faculty Committee on University Governments, Penn State's Coalition on Intercollegiate Athletics, Penn State's Rock Ethics Institute, students, alumni, faculty, and staff, as well as representatives from peer institutions with experience in reviewing and improving institutional culture in academic settings. The free report then goes on to state the following recommendations. Appoint a university ethics officer to provide an advice and counsel to the president and the board of trustees on ethics issues and adherence to the Penn State principles. Develop and provide in conjunction with the Rock Ethics Center leadership and ethics training modules for all areas of the university and coordinate ethics initiatives with the university's chief compliance officer. This has already been implemented. Next, establish an ethics council to assist the ethics officer in providing advice and counsel to the president and the board on ethical issues and training. Next, finalize and approve the proposed modifications to the institutional conflict of interest policy. Identify the senior administrative and faculty positions to which the policy should apply and implement the policy throughout the university. Next, conduct open and inclusive searches for new employees and provide professional training for employees who undertake new responsibilities. Next, continue to benchmark the university's practices and policies with other similarly situated institutions. Focus on continuous improvement and make administrative, operational, and personnel changes when warranted. Communicate regularly with university students, faculty, staff, alumni, and the community regarding significant university policies and issues through a variety of methods and media. And finally, in this section, emphasize and practice openness and transparency with all levels and within all areas of the university. The next set of recommendations by the Free Report, and we have news coming up at the bottom of the hour. Administration and general counsel structures, policies, and procedures. In various ways, the university's administrative structure, the absence or poor enforcement of policies relating to the protection of children and employee misconduct, and the lack of emphasis on values and ethics-based action created an environment in which Spanier, Schultz, Paterno, and Curley were able to make decisions to avoid the consequences of bad publicity. Standard personnel practices were ignored and undermined by the lack of centralized control over the human resources functions of various departments, most particularly the athletic department. University administrators, faculty, staff, and the board should consider taking the following actions to create an atmosphere of values and ethics-based decision-making. 1. Review organizational structures and make adjustments for greater efficiency and effectiveness. Next, evaluate the span of control of the university president and make adjustments as necessary to ensure that the president's duties are realistic and capable of the president's oversight and control. Next, evaluate the span of control and responsibility of the senior vice president for finance and business and make adjustments as necessary to ensure that that individual's duties are realistic and capable of oversight and control. Upgrade the position of associate vice president for human resources to a vice president position reporting directly to the university president. Evaluate the size, composition, and procedures of the president's council and make adjustments as necessary. Review administrative processes and procedures and make adjustments for greater efficiency and effectiveness. Separate the university's Office of Human Resources from the university's finance and business operation. Assign all human resources, HR policymaking responsibilities to OHR and limit the ability of individual departments and campuses to disregard the university's human resources policies and rules. Centralize human resources functions where feasible, such as background checks, hiring, promotions, terminations, onboard orientation, and management training while recognizing the unique requirements of university components and Commonwealth campuses and their need for measured autonomy. That has already been implemented. Designate the Vice President for Human Resources as the hiring authority for HR representatives throughout the university and establish a dotted line reporting relationship between the HR representatives and the Vice President of HR, similar to that used in the finance and audit areas. These are recommendations in the free report. We will continue with that following the news at the bottom of the hour on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now, from the Sunbury Motor Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Welcome back to the show. Great to have you with us on this Thursday afternoon. I know we have an email that we'll deal with. We may not get to it until the second hour of the show. We'll talk about that. But between now and then, I still think it's very important in the moving forward process that we look at the recommendations of the free report. Everyone knows what's at the front of the report. And if you don't know what's at the front of the report, then you're in a cave. So we know what's in the front of the report. What nobody's talking about now is the next step of the report, the recommendations. And we're into the section of recommendations right now that they have. And there are 8 sections to it. We're in section 2 right now. And in section 2, that deals with administration and general counsel structure and policies. And then when we get through this, I know there's an email you want me to deal with, and we'll deal with that. Okay, at stevejonesshow.com. Size of the Office of Human Resources, staff benchmark its human capital capacity against public universities, responsibility, and modify as necessary. Adopt a human resource information capital management system with sufficient growth capacity for use at University Park and all Commonwealth campuses. Engage external HR professionals to assist in the development of the university's next performance management system. Provide the OHR with complete access to executive compensation and utilize the OHR in conjunction with the University Budget Office to benchmark and advise the administration and the Board of Trustees on matters of executive compensation. Develop a mechanism to provide and track all employee training mandated by every state entity. And, of course, naturally, I hit the button that now advances me way forward on my laptop.
Of course I did.
Let's see.
You're only about 200 pages, so you know. You'll be fine.
No, of course, I hit the button that moves it forward. Develop a mission statement for the Office of General Counsel that clearly defines the General Counsel's responsibilities and reporting obligations of the University and the Board of Trustees. Select and hire a permanent General Counsel. That's already been done. Expand the General Counsel's office staff to provide broader coverage of routine legal issues, including employment law. appropriate sufficient budget to the Office of General Counsel to hire specialized outside counsel when needed. Advertise all senior executive positions externally and engage educational search experts to broaden talent pools for senior executive positions. That has already been done. Integrate faculty and staff from different disciplines and areas in university-wide professional development leadership training to increase their exposure to other university personnel programs, challenges, and solutions. That has already been done. Implement consistent state-of-the-art records management and retention procedures. Provide sufficient support and oversight to the Office of Student Affairs to make certain that all students follow the same standards of conduct. That has been done. Designate an individual, administrative entity, or community or committee to approve and review all new and modified university policies. Develop guidelines for creating, standardizing, approving, reviewing, and updating university policies, and review periodically all university policies for relevant, utility, and necessity, and modify or rescind as appropriate. Section 3 of recommendations from the Free Report. Board of Trustees, responsibilities, and operations. Graham Spanier and other university leaders failed to report timely and sufficiently to the incidents of child sexual abuse against Jerry Sandusky to the Board of Trustees in 1998, 2001, and 2011. Nonetheless, the board's overconfidence in Spanier's abilities and its failures to conduct oversight and responsible inquiry of Spanier and senior official university officials hindered the board's ability to deal properly with the most profound crisis ever confronted by the university. The board should consider taking the following actions to increase public confidence and transparency, realign and refocus its responsibilities and operations, improve internal and external communications, and strengthen its practices and procedures. 1. Review the administrative and governance issues raised in this report, particularly with regard to the structure, composition, eligibility requirements, and term limits of the board, the need to include more members who are not associated with the university, and the role of the emeriti. In conducting this review, the board should seek the opinions of members of the Penn State community as well as governments and higher education experts not affiliated with the university. The board should make public the results and recommendations generated from the review. Review, develop, and adopt an ethics conflict of interest policy for the board that includes guidelines for conflict management and a commitment to transparency regarding significant issues. Include training on ethics and oversight responsibilities in the current regulatory environment and board member orientation. Require full and public disclosure by board members of financial relationships between themselves and their businesses and the university. Implement the board's proposals for revised committee structures to include a committee of risk compliance, legal and audit, and subcommittees for audit and legal matters, and a subcommittee for human resources as part of the Committee on Finance, Business, and Capital Planning. That has been implemented. Rotate committee chairs every 5 years or sooner. Increase and improve the channels of communication between the board and university administrators. Ensure that the university president, general counsel, and relevant members of the senior staff thoroughly and forthrightly brief the board of trustees at each meeting on significant issues facing the university. That is already being done. Require regular risk management, compliance, and internal audit reports to the board on assessment of risks, pending investigations, compliance with federal and state regulations, as well as on measures in place to mitigate those risks. Require the senior vice president and the general counsel and or their designee to provide timely briefings to the board on potential problem areas such as unusual severance or termination payments, faculty and staff emeriti appointments, settlement agreements, government inquiries, important litigation, and whistleblower complaints. That's a very important part right there, because a lot of that deals with what we've been seeing here and the deal that was given to Jerry at the time. Use the board's executive session and question period with the president to make relevant and reasonable inquiry into substantive matters and to facilitate sound decision-making. Review annually the university's return of organizational exempt from income tax form, Clery Act reports, and compensation and performance of senior executives and leaders. That's already being done. Conduct an informational seminar for the board and senior administrators on the Clery Act, as well as compliance and reporting procedures. Continue to provide all the board members with regular reports on local, national, and academic media coverage of the university. That's already being done. Increase and improve the channels of communication between the board and the university community. Establish and enforce rules regarding public and press statements made by the board members and emeriti regarding confidential university matters. Increase and publicize the ways in which individuals can convey messages and concern to board members. Other recommendations, provide board members with individual university email addresses and make them known to the public. That way you can communicate with them if you wish. Use common social media communication tools to communicate with the public on various board matters. Develop a critical incident management plan, including training and exercises for board and university administrators. Continue to conduct and publicize periodic internal and external self-assessment of board performance. That's already being done. So that's through three. Now we get to four. And when we get to four, this is on risk and reporting misconduct. The university's incomplete implementation of the Clery Act was a contributing factor in the failure to report the 2001 child sexual abuse committed by Jerry Sandusky. A strong compliance function, much like exists in the university's financial area, should encourage individuals to report misconduct more readily in the future. A regularized risk identification and management system is as prudent and consistent with best business practices. University administrators and the board should consider taking the following actions to ensure compliance with the multiple laws, regulations, rules, and mandates that affect its operations, risk management, and national reputation. Number one, establish and select an individual for a position of chief compliance officer. The compliance officer should, and by the way, they've already hired this position, head an independent office equivalent to the Office of Internal Audit, chair a compliance council, coordinate compliance functions in a manner similar to the Office of Internal Audit, have similar access to and a reporting relationship with the board as does the internal auditor. Coordinate the chief compliance officer's responsibilities with the Office of General Counsel, the Director of Risk Management, and the Director of Internal Audit. Then direct further review of any incidents or risks reported to the compliance officer. Assign full responsibility for Clery Act compliance to an individual within the University Police Department and provide individuals with sufficient resources and personnel to meet Clery Act regulations. That has been done already. The individual responsible for Clery Act compliance should also establish a university policy for the implementation of the Clery Act, create a master list of names of those persons with Clery Act reporting responsibilities, notify them annually of the Clery Act responsibilities, and publish the list to the university community. Require, monitor, and track training and periodic retraining for campus security authorities, CSAs, on Clery compliance. Meanwhile, it also says you should provide information to the Office of Human Resources on Clery Act responsibilities, reporting suspicious activity to CSAs and whistleblower protection for inclusion in the general training for all employees. Coordinate timely notices of incidents and threat warnings with Vice President of Student Affairs, the Chief Compliance Officer, and the General Counsel. Review annual Clery Act reports with the President's Counsel, the Board of Trustees, and Compliance Officer. Coordinate Clery Act training and compliance with responsible officials of the Commonwealth campuses. Arrange for periodic internal and external audits of Clery Act compliances. Update regularly and prioritize the university's list of institutional risks. Determine the appropriate implementation and audit schedule for those risks and present the results to the board. Send a communication to all university students, faculty, and staff at the beginning of each academic term that encourages the reporting of misconduct, describes the channels for direct or anonymous reporting, and the university's whistleblower policy and protection from retaliation. Publicize the employee misconduct hotline regularly and prominently throughout the university on a variety of platforms, including social media networks and the web pages of individual university components. That's already been done. Next, this deals with the athletic department. Integration and compliance. For the past several decades, the university's athletic department was permitted to become a closed community. There was little personnel turnover or hiring from outside the university and strong internal loyalty. The football program, in particular, opted out of most of the university's Clery Act, sexual abuse awareness, and summer camp procedures training. The athletic department was perceived by many in the Penn State community as an island where staff members lived by their own rules. University administrators and the Board of Trustees should consider taking the following actions to more fully involve the athletic department within the broader university community, provide relevant training and support to the athletic department staff to ensure compliance with external regulations and university policies, and maintain a safe environment for those who use university recreational facilities, especially children. Number one, revise the organizational structure of the athletic department to clearly define lines of authority, responsibilities, and reporting relationships. Next, evaluate security and access protocols for athletic, recreational, and camp facilities to modify as necessary to provide reasonable protections for those using the facilities. That has already been enacted. Conduct national searches for candidates for key positions, including head coaches and associate athletic directors and the above. Now, even though it doesn't say in the report, I can tell you right now it's already happened. Patrick Chambers, Boston University. Cale Sanderson, Iowa State. Jeff Tambroni, brought in from the outside. Missy Doherty, brought in from the outside. Erica Walsh was an outside hire. Bob Warming from Creighton's an outside hire. Bill O'Brien, football, is an outside hire. The Thompsons in women's gymnastics, outside hire. Robbie Wine was an outside hire. Robin Petrini is an outside hire. Charmel Green, for example, in the as an associate athletic director, is an outside hire. There are a series of outside hires, and each one of these coaches, by the way, that are outside hires, also brought in outside staff. So that part, even though it doesn't say that, they're already have been implemented anyway, national searches for candidates in key positions. Integrate, where feasible, academic support staff programs and locations for student-athletes. That's already being done. Provide the university's athletic compliance office with additional staff and adequate resources to meet its many responsibilities. That's already been done. Benchmark against peer institutions to determine an appropriate staffing level for the office. Establish an effective reporting relationship with the university's compliance office. Realign and the compliance-related responsibilities of athletic staff members to ensure that the athletic compliance office has oversight of the entire program. Ensure that new hires and incumbent compliance personnel have requisite working knowledge in the NCAA, Big Ten, conference, and university roles. Ensure that athletic department employees comply with university-wide training mandates. Provide and track initial and ongoing training for athletic staff in matters of leadership, ethics, the Penn State principles, and standards of conduct, abuse awareness, and reporting misconduct pursuant to the Clery Act and university policy, and include athletic department employees in management training programs provided to other university managers. All right. There are three more sections of this to go. We will get to section six in a moment. As we continue, Steve Jones Show, Thursday afternoon, being brought to you by Rick Weibel at REW Insurance and Financial Services, LLC. Call 800-609-9484 or visit at rewfinancial.com. This is News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza is having their 64th annual July New Truck Sale. Choose from over 75 new F-150s with discounts up to $7,000. Sunbury Motors is loaded with Super Duty trucks. Pick from Super Cabs, Crew Cabs, Diesels, and Duallys. Save up to a whopping $10,000 on Super Duties during this July New Truck Sale. If an SUV is what you need, SMC has new 2012 Ford Escapes as low as $19,880. And 2013 Ford Explorer 4x4s from $29,970. The all-new, totally redesigned 2013 Ford Escapes are arriving daily, and Sunbury Motors has them starting at $22,680. Take $5,000 off a new 2012 Ford Edge, and they're on sale for just $25,915. Every new vehicle from Sunbury Motors comes with an extra set of tires, and 0% financing is available on many models, including 2012 F-150s for the first time this year. Sunbury Motors in the North 4th Street Auto Plaza and at sunburymotors.com. Hurry before someone gets your truck.
Welcome back to the show. We have been going through the recommendations being made in the free report. I think the front part of the report everybody's talked about, digested, and they will for a while, obviously. But at the same time, moving forward, you have to take a long look at the recommendations. And the free report people put a lot of time and effort into this. They interviewed 430 people along the way. They could not obviously interview some of the key people in this for obvious reasons, whether it's a legal situation or obviously Joe's passing. But they were able to formulate all this with the evidence they had before them, including the emails, which have been talked about tremendously. Now we're going to get to part six. That's the University Police Department oversight policies and procedures. The University Police Department promptly responded to the 1998 complaint about Jerry Sandusky's conduct, but the sensitivity of the investigation and the need to report on its progress to a senior administrator could have compromised the extent of its inquiry. The independence of the university's law enforcement function is essential to providing unbiased service and protection to the university community. The University Police Department's recent restructuring and additional training for its employees is an important step in the continuous improvement of the department. And of course, let's see, get to the next part here. My apologies. Just want to move it forward. Here are the recommendations when it comes to that area. We start out. Oops, my apologies. Okay, we start out with this one. Arrange for an external examination of the University Police Department structure, organization, policies, procedures through a professionally recognized accreditation body with a particular emphasis on the University Police Department's training for and qualifications of sex abuse investigators. They've already done that. Review the organizational placement of the University Police Department in the university's finance and business area in conjunction with the review of the span of control of the Senior Vice President for Finance. Provide the Vice President, Director of Public Safety with sufficient administrative authority and resources to operate effectively and independently. Review records management procedures and controls and revise where needed. That's already been done. Establish a policy to ensure that all police reports alleging criminal conduct by Penn State students, faculty, and staff are reported to the Office of Human Resources. Establish and reinforce protocols to assign a timely incident number and proper offense classification to all complaints received. That's already been done. Include in the final disposition of each complaint in the original or follow-up report, whether it's founded, unfounded, exceptionally cleared. Establish a policy to request assistance from other law enforcement agencies in sensitive or extraordinary cases where a conflict of interest could exist. And the University Police, by the way, has engaged the Pennsylvania State Police Chiefs Association to conduct an external review. It's already been done. Implement consistent law enforcement standards and practices through regular training at all Penn State campuses. Review and update with the general counsel the current policies pertaining to the investigation of various categories of offenses involving Penn State employees and provide specialized training to investigators in the area of sexual abuse of children. There are two more parts of this. One's management of university programs for children and access to facilities. That will be next. We'll talk about that. And then we'll get to the email as well, because it's an email that a lot of people, I think, are thinking about, wondering about. There's a lot of emotion on this particular day. You need to breathe a little bit before rash decisions are made, which we will get to in just a few moments. So we'll do all that. But again, the front part of it, look, the greatest teacher that we have in life is history. History is a critical teacher. You look at the great parts of history, and they give you lessons of how to move forward. And you get the bad part of history, the awful part, the terrible part of it, and you say, okay, what can we now do to make sure something like this never happens again? That children, in this instance, are completely protected along the way. You take that, you learn those terribly hard lessons that should be common sense to begin with, and you move forward. Because the idea is that this great university move forward, and steps will be taken to move forward. These are some of the steps in moving forward. Everyone will move forward. We'll do it together because we know this is a great place. And in time, we'll prove to the world it is, and that we've learned some very hard and difficult lessons.